Hello, everybody. Old Buck Dave coming to you one more time. Episode 183. That's 183 of the Two Old Bucks. Tell me who's with me here.
Yeah, and with you is Old Buck Dale.
Old Buck Dale. Okay, yeah. The one and only. There's only one, and we've got him. So
barely made it. Barely made it.
Barely made it. It's been a tough day. We'll talk about that. Yeah, yeah. But hey, I want to open up by congratulating Caitlin Clark. Of course, we've talked about her in the past. She was, as predicted, the number one draft in the WNBA, going to the Indiana team. Did you see what her salary is?
I did not.
Take a guess.
She was drafted.
Take a guess. Number one overall draft in the WNBA.
I'm thinking $2 million.
Well, you're close. 76,000.
That's it?
That's it. Huh. That's the incoming salary you get. I think the salary cap is like 270,000 or some silly number like that. Now, she's going to get eight figures in endorsements, okay? She'll do all right. I think Nike and, 17 other companies want to plaster her face and name over their stuff. So she'll get tens of millions in endorsements, but she'll only get 76,000 in salary.
And that's interesting because I think the way they're playing in two sold out arenas.
Well, yeah, again, she's going to do okay, but that's why a lot of the WNBA women play in Europe in the off season. Okay. Just to make some money. That's that gal that was arrested in Russia.
Yeah.
She was just trying to make a living.
That surprised me. Well, like I said, I think she has the personality to be a good, representative. I think she has the demeanor, to represent a company. And, let's hope she does all right. Plays well, too, and sets some more records and all
that. Yeah, plays well. Oh, by the way, I don't know if you saw or not, she was on Saturday Night Live last Saturday.
I did not watch Saturday Night Live, but I saw the highlights of that the next morning on CBS.
It was great. She was on with the news guys, and she was really busting up the one guy. It was great. She did well. She did well. I thought last Saturday Night Live last week is probably the funniest show they've done that I can remember in years. It was Ryan Gosling was the host. It was just hilarious. They did a Beavis and Butthead sketch. They did one with Kate McKinnon. You just have to see it. They were all cracking up. But anyway, I digress.
You digress. Okay.
Let's talk about something else that's funny. You sent me a note here about Florida and communism this morning. You said you wanted to talk about communism. Talk to me.
Well, there was a headline that Florida is going to institute a specific class on all the basically all the bad things about communism. I actually studied. I had one semester in college where I studied all that. I must have had five books on Russia and communism. So I was familiar with that. And I said, I wonder what they're, if I was a kid, after about 2 hours or 2 weeks of that stuff, I'd be bored to tears.
Yeah, I got it, right?
you know what I mean? So, So there must be some kind of an indoctrination angle to this thing. But anyhow, communism is really, really, really bad. And I said, okay. And then I'm thinking, if it's really, really, really bad, and these guys are of a certain political persuasion.
Talking about Governor DeSantis here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why don't they go ahead and support the only country in the world that's beating their brains out trying to slow it down? So
are you talking about the Russians invading Ukraine?
I think I am in a very roundabout way.
Well, okay.
Well, Doesn't that seem ironic?
See, he wants to fight communism, which is fine. Of course, his party is the one that's impeding any additional aid to the country that's trying to defend itself against the Russians. So
Against
that's kind of ironic. Well, how things turn upside down.
So we shall see. I predict that the sometime in the future, maybe beyond when we're here, people say they're communists. Those are communists. You're a communist. You say, I'm not a communist. I'm a Peruvian.
Gee. Oh.
And you can get tagged. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Get tagged as being a communist.
It's a convenient new scapegoat again, I guess.
I'm thinking a slippery slope.
Yeah, I dug into this a little bit, and the bill would be teaching the dangers and evils of communism in grades K to 12, highlighting the atrocities and the increasing threat that we face. And here's a direct quote from DeSantis. We might as well give them the truth when they are in our schools, because a lot of these universities teach how great communism is. He said this at a press conference. I'm not sure how often that's happening, really. I mean, seriously.
I don't remember ever hearing a university talk about the greatness of
Well, I mean,
communism.
there are certainly some left-wing university departments out there, but I don't know. I mean, isn't that where you're supposed to have open and free thought and evaluate things objectively? That's your chance. That's your chance to do that. Now, I've actually read the bill, okay, and it says, and this is what's happening: a history of communism task force will be formed, and it will issue its recommendations to the Florida State Board of Education by July 1, 2025, with implementation in the 2026-27 school year. Now, the bill has few specifics beyond that. And really, on the surface, how can you argue with that? That's, like, if you voted against this bill in Florida, it's like voting against, motherhood and apple pie. Certainly, students should learn about different political economic systems. And if they don't already, shame on Florida. I mean, I recall back, you remember civics in high school?
I do.
We had a half year of civics and a half year of Pennsylvania history one year. And that's where we learned about our system of government and economics, and as well as other systems such as socialism, communism. I don't know. Did that all go away? I don't know.
It's going to be interesting to speculate it on. In fact, anybody listening's got a thought on that, I'd be welcome to send a
Yeah.
note to Bucks Too Old
Yeah.
Gmail or use a.
Talk to us.
Yeah, the speak pipe.
Yeah,
This
we don't
almost
know.
seems unnecessary to me. I mean, you could
It's just,
incorporate in the Carilion without passing a
I mean,
law.
like, and at this point, you don't know how many hours is it? I mean, the students will have some spare time on their hands now because, a lot of the books have been banned in their school libraries, so they have. So they're going to have a lot more free time, or they won't be in the library reading books. So that's a plus, I guess. And of course, the Civil War never happened in Florida, so there's some time freed up there. So maybe they can use that for this. I don't know. This is just grandstanding on his part. This is diversionary, as you said. He's, you as you said earlier on, he's in the same party that's holding the aid to
Hey,
Ukraine.
yeah. Well, if they want to know what to do, I think the next thing is everybody will have all the kids in school will have uniforms, and they will all march to school in the line, and they will stand and speak when told to in unison. You know what I mean?
I just don't understand. This has to be grandstanding. Do I think communism is bad? Yeah, my father-in-law's family was wiped out by Stalin. He's the only one that survived, to our knowledge. So, yeah, communism's done a lot of bad things. They have had atrocities. Should students learn about that? Yeah, it's kind of bizarre that we need a special bill to say that.
Yeah, that's a big rabbit hole right there. Old
That's a
Bucktail
big,
wasn't going to go down there.
yeah.
Anyhow, it troubled me to think of the irony of that. So
Well,
we'll let the folks make up their own mind, and if they got some thoughts, send it in. But otherwise, What else is new, Dave?
Well, what else is troubling is we have a MacGyver story. And I think you're the one that has to tell it.
I will tell you, I have got a nickname of MacGyver because I can sort of make things work, and I get lucky most of the time. I told you I was converting old clip-on sunglasses and putting them into old frames, old glass frames that I had laying around, and I made some nice sunglasses out of it,
And
frankly.
how many hours did that take?
Oh, that took several hours to trim them down
Several
and
hours.
make them fit. And then,
Hours you never get back.
yeah, something else the other day, I said, I was thinking if I disassemble these shoes, I'm not going to be able to get them back together. So I have to judge what I MacGyver because I just don't have all the resources to return it to its even original state to what I've done. So I had a problem with the microphone that we use, and that could be why my voice doesn't sound the same. The
Yeah,
microphone that we use.
let me jump in here
Yeah.
just to give some background. We both use the same microphone, and about around the same time, we both started having the same problem, is that one of the two channels would cut out, and sometimes both channels would cut out, and we'd wiggle the wires and stick a wedge between different cords and try all things to make it work. And you decided you were going to fix this. So tell them what you did.
Yeah. So
Tell them what happened.
I took it apart, and inside there on a circuit board, I could see the little panel that the plug fits in, the plug that you put in for the sound. So I said, oh, I can see that the soldering has come apart. So I said, wonder how I can hold this down. So I said, maybe I can glue it down. So I said, all right, I'll try gluing it down. But in order to keep it steady, I plugged in my headset. So I got my headset plugged into the microphone. I put some glue on it. And now the glue does not keep it, the glue does not keep the little microchip fixed, but it glues my headset to the microchip. Oh, to make a very, very long story short, I'm wiggling that, so I damaged it even more.
So your microphone is now inoperable.
My microphone is now inoperable, and as I was trying to pull out the headset, I broke tore the wires off of my, pull off the headset. So I basically had no mic and no headset. So I'm using a Campbell soup can and a string right now to talk to you.
Based on the photograph you sent me and your description, I did the same thing. I took my microphone apart. I saw where it was loose there, where it was wiggling there. And I put a glob of super glue in. It didn't really hold it. So I put a big glob of super glue in there. And now my microphone is dead. If my voice sounds different today, and we may
So
be sounding this way for quite a while,
it
folks.
sounds like typical two old bucks. We even transfer all this old buck demo right into our podcast. You know what I mean? We're old bucks true and true and through and through. So
I'll tell you what, it's enough to make you California sober.
California sober.
You probably never heard of that term before. I never did either till
I
today.
didn't.
This is a
Tell me
story. I
about
got this
that.
story in Axios, one of the news feeds. Okay, there are companies that make cannabis-infused drinks. And they're using these to encourage people to ditch booze for weed on 420. Okay, that's the long that's the pot holiday, 420, and people talk about smoking at 420 p.m. every day. More people are going this California sober, no alcohol, hard drugs, just marijuana. But the medical community split over whether this is actually a good idea. It's known as harm reduction, which involves swapping out your biggest demon for a smaller one. These are Axios' words. Let me give them full credit for this. And there's a quote. It says, "We're saying drink this when you're socializing as a healthier alternative to alcohol," says Jake Bullock, the founder and CEO of CAN, which makes weed-infused seltzers. The THC drinks have become a product category for people who want a gentle buzz without smoking and folks who struggle with alcohol use. That's the hot news coming out of California Sober, not necessarily originated in California, but there are now dozens of these drinkable products on the market already. We just haven't seen any of them, I guess.
That's the latest.
Yeah, and their bottom line is, and again, this is, I said, while marijuana is an intoxicant, it's not potentially fatal like alcohol, and it's not associated with the same kind of violent behavior and sloppiness that's typically seen with booze. So I'll tell you what, I'll put a link to this Axios article for people that want to read the whole thing here. And I thought that's a novel approach.
I think humans are such clever people that they can pretty much say something good about everything. it wouldn't be my style. I would think it still was remotely an impairment. I mean, I take enough medicine now that says do not drive, could be dizzy. I mean, just think about that.
I can't
afford to do anything to, you know, affect my
balance. That's right. That's right. But hey, if anybody out there has tried the weed infused drink, let us know what you think. We're open to all feedback.
Well, I hope Valentine's listening. I would be curious to hear his thoughts. What he thinks of America.
Yeah.
Of America now.
I don't know. Seems like it's actually not a bad idea. Not a bad idea. But hey, speaking of bad ideas, maybe here's another one that I just learned. You know the company Crocs makes the Crocs, the shoes.
Those real light rubber shoes, yeah.
Those rubber shoes are like $59, probably cost like 59 cents to make. So yeah, that's what we're talking about. They have teamed up with the Pringles people to create an ankle holster for your potato chips on the Crocs. It's a Pringles X Croc. So this is hard to, this these are going to be $100, okay? Both
what
men's
it,
and women's sizes.
Called? What's it called?
Well, it's called the Pringles X Crocs collaboration, and the boots are called Classic Crush boots. Classic Crush, so they're Crocs with a mini can, with a pouch on the side where you can slip a mini can of Pringles in there. So I don't know what to say. I mean, how did we get along without this?
Pringles are pretty fragile things. How the heck would you be able to walk with them? And at the time, you got to be nothing but dust.
Well, I mean, they're still in the can, I guess. So that's a good. You put the whole can in there.
Yeah, but you can't shake a can of Pringles. You can't do that.
I don't eat them. They're like the junk food of junk food, as far as I'm concerned.
You're talking to MacGyver. Even MacGyver don't think that's going to.
MacGyver will do that. No, no, no.
I can ruin a $200 microphone, but I'm not even going to waste $1.50 on Pringles.
Oh man, what else is going on with you? You got any other good?
As far as I'm concerned, you know, I had a small run-in with the healthcare system again.
Uh-oh.
I mean, I have to laugh. I don't know how other people cope with it. In fact, I was telling the story to somebody. I said, "Well, I can get to see a doctor." I said, "You can get to see a doctor if you want to wait 3.5 weeks. If you can see this red line coming up your leg, and it looks like you've got blood poison, and you've already been to the emergency room, and you want to see a doctor, you want to see a doctor."
Amen on that.
Yeah, it is the most frustrating thing with these automated systems and the ones that aren't truly automated enough to call you back. Several times during my process, the people I'm trying to reach called me while I was trying to reach somebody else. And we played phone tag for at least 3 or 4 hours until I literally left the house and went in person to the doctor's office to clarify some things. And I lucked out and got a reasonably quick appointment. And everything turned out all right. But it could be wrong. It could go the other way if you have to wait 2.5 weeks. And you don't know, if you're gaining ground on some small issue that turns into something worse or not. So the health system is a rough go unless you go in covered in the sheet with the ambulance driver.
That's a one-way trip there, buddy.
That's what I mean. No problems then, boy.
No problems.
That's another comment. Any of our old buck listeners that have this round robin phone tag thing with healthcare, I'd be curious to hear what you had to say. It just makes me angry that I can't do a straightforward, say, I've already been to 911. I've already gone through that. All I want you to tell me when, if he would just look at this thing, pull the arrow out of my shoulder, and I'll be fine.
Well, I won't bother you anymore till the, yeah.
Don't get old, Dave.
Yeah. Ooh, boy, I hope not. I hope it doesn't happen to me. Jeez. Speaking of delighting your customer, I had a funny situation at the gas station the other day. Now, this is a gas station I always go to. It's a line of pumps, but they're only one deep. Okay, it's not like you can get in a pump. Pumps are not ganged. They're just one pump in each lane. And what bothers me there is, okay, after I start pumping the gas, I think, okay, I want to wash the windows, at least wash the back window. That's the one that's crappy all the time. And where is the squeegee and everything? It's up at the front end. Okay, so you got to step over your pump and hope you don't fall to go up to get the squeegee. So the other day I was doing this, and the attendant happened to be coming out checking the meters or something, and I said, hey, did you ever think about moving this washing station to the back end here where we could get it easily? And he said, no. And I said, why not? I mean, it'll make it easier for your customers. It's not like your people are fighting over this. He says, because that's where it belongs. I thought, okay, thank you, sir. Thank you for excellent customer service one more time.
So logic says, if you want to wash the back window, it should be in the back.
If you want to wash anything, it should, the pump should, the squeegee and all that system should be towards the back of the car. Okay. Not the front of the car. Because otherwise you have to step over the hose, or you have to walk all the way around the car. And normally there's a guy pumping right next to you, so you can't get through on that side. Huh. Are we getting old and whiny here? Is that what this is all about? I think it might be.
I don't know. We're talking about two things that trouble us. One is life and death, and the other is inconvenience. So, but it's still the same. I mean, the same. It's like, I think that's a sign of old age. I really do. I think that's a sign of old age. There are just things that old people think should be done differently to make things more convenient. And I just have to take it the way it is. Whatever the system thinks is best for the system.
Suck it up. Shut up, Dave. Shut up, Dale. Okay. All right. Well, hey, I do. We're going to end this on a bright note here.
Okay.
Okay. I just got a notice from Bridie Thielen-Heidel. She's our star episodes. She's still our star number one episode. Her book, which she told us about, Bright Eyes, is now available for pre-order. It's coming out in September, but you can pre-order it on Amazon. And I will put a link in the show notes to anybody that wants to pre-order the book, as I have already done. So, yeah. So, again, congratulations to Bridie. And really looking forward to the book. She sent a picture of the cover of the book in her email. And so, yeah, I'm looking forward to getting the book and reading the whole book.
Well, Dave, considering all the minor hiccups and setbacks and the fact that we're still able to air some thoughts, I think we did good. We managed to cobble something together, but as usual, time goes by, and I'm going to say I think we probably ought to say goodbye to our listeners. I appreciate everybody that listens to us and enjoys some of this banter, and would like to say any thoughts, send it into bucks2old@gmail.com and talk to us. And otherwise, this is old Buck Dale saying we'll do our best to keep going and talk to you next time.
And this is old Buck Dave saying the same thing. And at some point here, if we sound funky today, hopefully we will have a new microphone someday. And we'll start sounding like our usual old selves. Take care, everybody. Talk to you next time. Bye-bye.